Welcome to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
A refugee is someone who is unable or unwilling to return to their country of origin owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, or political opinion.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, and generous support from Lane County and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's June 10th, 2022 program, welcoming the displaced refugee resettlement in Lane County. And my name is Karin Knudsen, and I'm City Club's president. Support for the City Club of Eugene is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. In today's forum, Welcoming the Displaced Refugee Resettlement in Lane County, we will hear from Christine Zeller-Powell, an attorney with Refugee and Immigration Services Program at Catholic Community Services, as well as Oscar and Zara. More information and speaker biographies are available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. And now, before we begin, some background on today's program. Among the newcomers to our community are people referred to by the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program, the official resettlement program of the United States government. Refugees have fled their home country due to persecution. While overseas, they are screened and vetted by the United Nations and/or federal agencies of the United States, a process that typically takes years. If refugees are approved for resettlement in the United States, the International Organization for Migration arranges their travel here. And upon arrival, they are granted refugee status, a permanent status offering a pathway to citizenship, and they receive resettlement assistance. In Lane County, Catholic Community Services offers immediate help to anyone in need and supports families as they take these steps to move out of poverty. One of the programs that supports the mission is the Refugee Immigrant and Services Program, or RISP. As a contracted remote placement agency for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Catholic Community Services serves refugees of all faiths, nationalities, and ethnicities. The Refugee and Immigrant Services Program's Refugee Resettlement and Asylum Seekers Assistant Program supports refugees, asylum seekers, and asylees as they get reestablished and established in our community. These programs help clients to improve their language skills, provide transportation and critical appointments, and to support clients' efforts to obtain employment and find and pay for housing. Since 2016, RISP has resettled 9 immigrants from Syria, El Salvador, and Iran. And since October of 2021, RISP has resettled 33 individuals from Afghanistan and provided legal and social services to more than 100 people seeking asylum. So now, please welcome Christine Zeller-Powell, attorney with the Refugee and Immigration Services Program at Catholic Community Services, who will also introduce Oscar and Zara.
Hello, and thank you for that introduction. I'd like to thank the City Club of Eugene for the opportunity to speak today about refugee resettlement in Lane County. It's an honor to be here. Now, you've probably seen media coverage about the global refugee crisis, with the United Nations recently announcing that there are now over 100 million forcibly displaced people in the world, a new record, extensive news coverage of the Ukrainian refugee crisis, videos from last summer of desperate Afghans handing babies over barbed wire topped walls to waiting US soldiers, the constant arrival of people from around the world seeking asylum at our southern border. It can feel overwhelming and hard to know how to help. 7 years ago, in 2016, members of the Eugene Springfield community came together to figure out how our community could help welcome people who are fleeing persecution and violence. At that time, there was extensive news coverage of the Syrian refugee crisis. Remember those images of piles of orange life vests and overcrowded boats in the Mediterranean? Community meetings were held. People from congregations of various faiths, service groups, nonprofits, and interested individuals showed up. Committees were formed. The system had changed since this community welcomed hundreds of refugees from Southeast Asia in the 1970s. We learned we needed a resettlement agency, but the nearest resettlement agencies were in Portland, too far away to resettle people in Lane County. So Catholic Community Services, in collaboration with the Refugee Resettlement Coalition of Lane County, became an official refugee resettlement agency as part of the United States Refugee Admissions Program. We got off to a bit of a slow start due to low refugee admissions during the past several years, but we've now resettled 42 individuals in our community, 33 of those being Afghans that arrived since last October. And we have provided case management services and or immigration legal services to hundreds of refugees, asylum seekers, and other immigrants. So today, I'd like to share with you how the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program works, what that process looks like, and what refugee resettlement looks like here in Lane County. I'm also very pleased to be joined today by several individuals who have settled in our community and will be sharing some of their experience in being forced to leave their home countries and ending up here. Okay, starting with the global overview. The UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency, assists and protects the rights of refugees worldwide. According to the UN, the number of forcibly displaced people has more than doubled in the last 10 years to over 100 million. That's a little over 1% of the world's total population. Forcibly displaced people is a term that includes both people who've had to move within their country, like Ukrainians moving from Mariupol to cities in Western Ukraine, and people who have had to flee their home country completely. About a quarter of these forcibly displaced people, over 26 million, are registered with the UN as refugees. Refugees are defined and protected in US and international law. The legal definition of a refugee dates back to the 1951 UN Convention on Refugees, which was created in response to people displaced in Europe by World War II. Okay, so I am an attorney, and I promise not to quote a bunch of statutes and regulations at you, but I'm going to read you the definition of a refugee from the UN Convention. It's short, fairly painless. A refugee is someone who is unable or unwilling to return to their country of origin owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, or political opinion. The definition of refugee in US law is basically the same, but the wording is a bit more convoluted. Go figure. The UN Refugee Agency considers there to be three durable solutions for refugees. One, voluntary repatriation. So that would mean things in the home country settle down and refugees go home. Two, integration. Refugees become citizens in their country of asylum, which is the country they fled to. The third option is resettlement in a third country. So that's not their home country, not the country they fled to, but a third country. Less than 1% of refugees registered with the UN are submitted for resettlement due to limited numbers of third countries willing to accept refugees. So that's the brief overview of the global situation and the UN framework. In the United States, we as a country joined the UN framework in 1967. Then the US Refugee Act of 1980 is the legislation that created the US Refugee Admissions Program, which is the official resettlement program of the US government. The US Refugee Admissions Program is managed by the Department of State, so it's actually part of our foreign policy. It's also managed by the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Health and Human Services. Every September, the president sets a ceiling or the maximum number of refugees to be admitted in the coming year. Historically, that number has fluctuated up and down with the number of refugees worldwide, with a higher response to a higher ceiling in response to the Southeast Asian refugee crisis after Vietnam in the late 70s and early 80s, then a decrease in the mid 80s, then increases again in the early 1990s in response to the refugee crisis after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Arrivals averaged around 116,000 per year during that time. The total number of people admitted to the U.S. through this program is around 3.1 million over the course of 42 years. After record low ceiling numbers from 2017 to 2021, the ceiling for fiscal year 2022 was at 125,000. Now, unfortunately, actual arrivals are not expected to reach that ceiling due to the need to rebuild and restaff the U.S. refugee admissions program, both domestically and overseas. So what does this look like at the individual level? No one chooses to become a refugee. Circumstances force them to do so. An individual's path to the U.S. through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program takes years and is mostly completed overseas, but after the individual has fled their home country. Refugees have to pass more screening and processing than any other immigrant group. There's a 20-step vetting process, including background checks by the UN and 9 different U.S. federal agencies. If the U.S. determines that an individual meets that definition of a refugee that we went over earlier, and then passes all the background checks and medical screenings, travel is arranged to the United States, the cost of which is a loan the refugee later repays. And once in the U.S., the individual has refugee as their official immigration status. That means they're eligible to work in the U.S., eligible to receive public benefits, can petition for certain close family members to join them here, and can apply for permanent resident status after 1 year and citizenship 5 years after arrival. They're also eligible to receive resettlement services from a resettlement agency. Okay, so the national structure of this program. There are 9 national resettlement agencies that have cooperative agreements with the Department of State. Each of the national agencies then has contracts with local affiliates. Catholic Community Services is one of those local affiliates. The local resettlement agency is responsible for providing up to 90 days of initial case management services. These services include meeting arrivals at the airport, providing furnished housing, they're not usually paying for the housing long-term, and providing culturally appropriate food and other necessities. The resettlement agency is also responsible for enrolling refugees in employment services and English classes, enrolling children in school, registering eligible men for the selective service, helping refugees connect with medical care, and helping refugees apply for public benefits. There's a one-time grant of $1,225 per individual that is used to assist with a refugee's initial expenses. That obviously doesn't go very far, and resettlement agencies raise other funds in order to provide necessary assistance. Resettlement agencies are tasked with helping refugees achieve self-sufficiency through employment as soon as possible. 90 days is also a pretty short time frame for someone to get established in a new country. Fortunately, in Oregon, the state legislature has provided the 6 resettlement agencies, including Catholic Community Services, with funding to provide extended case management and employment support services for up to 24 months within the first 5 years. But where, you may ask, do asylum seekers fit into this? You may have heard the term asylum seeker in relation to people arriving at our southern border. Asylum seekers are people who are in the United States. They may have come here on a tourist visa or a work visa or student visa. Or they may have crossed the border and sought out Border Patrol agents in order to seek asylum. They fear returning to their home country. Asylum seekers file for asylum, a process that typically takes many years due to sizable backlogs at the agencies that handle these claims. Asylum seekers are eligible for very few benefits while their cases are being adjudicated. And they're not eligible for work permits for some time when they first arrive. If asylum seekers are able to prove that they meet the definition of a refugee, there's that definition again, then they can be granted asylum by an asylum officer or an immigration judge, which gives them, like refugees, permission to work, eligibility for public benefits, ability to petition for certain family members to come to the U.S., and an immigration pathway to citizenship. What a grant of asylum does not do is make these individuals eligible for the initial 90-day case management services or the $1,225 grant. However, per our contracts, we can provide people granted asylum with extended case management and employment services, so we can offer some services. And here I want to share a story about an individual that we have worked with. She's from an African country and was represented by Catholic Charities attorneys from Portland and granted asylum in 2019. A few months later, she filed an I-730 petition for her minor son, who was still at home in Africa. It took over 2 years, but that petition was finally approved last year and sent to the embassy for processing. About 6 months later, the embassy contacted us to schedule an interview for the son, who at this point is no longer a minor. It took about another 2 months for the visa to be issued. In total, almost 3 years since asylum was granted to the mother and 6 years since she came to the United States and filed for asylum. I'm so pleased to say that the mother and son were very recently united here in Lane County, and we are so happy for this family. And while this story has a happy ending, it also illustrates just how slow the U.S. immigration system is and the importance of maintaining long-term connections with these individuals and families to support them in their journeys. We expect to maintain similar long-term connections with our new Afghan neighbors who have arrived in the last several months. Due to the need to evacuate these individuals and bring them to the U.S. quickly, they were not processed through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program, but brought to the U.S. with the immigration status of humanitarian parole, yet another legal category in immigration law, for 2 years. Congress passed legislation making these Afghan parolees eligible for the same initial resettlement services as refugees, so Catholic Community Services received funding to provide resettlement services. But Congress has yet to create a straightforward pathway to citizenship for Afghan parolees like exists for refugees. We are, through our Immigration Legal Services Program, helping these individuals to file for asylum and special immigrant visas, both laborious and lengthy processes with no guarantee of success. This lack of a permanent immigration status is really significant because it places incredible stress on these individuals to know that they only have a valid immigration status for 2 years and to not have any viable options to petition to bring their family members here at this time. Of the 33 Afghans we've welcomed here, 9 are men whose wives and children are still in Afghanistan, separated during the chaotic evacuation process. You may remember seeing news reports about that. Hopefully, Congress will take action to pass the Afghan Adjustment Act, which would allow these Afghan parolees to apply directly for permanent resident status and be able to petition for their immediate families to come to the U.S. In the meantime, we will do our best to stay connected to and support these new members of our community while they are separated from their families, looking forward to the day when their families are able to come to the U.S. And what about Ukrainians? Well, while Congress made Afghan parolees eligible for initial resettlement services from resettlement agencies, they did not do so for Ukrainians. The Unite for Ukraine program allows individuals to financially sponsor Ukrainians who are seeking to come to the U.S. These sponsors and Ukrainians will be screened and vetted, and if approved, the Ukrainians will be allowed to come to the U.S. with humanitarian parole status for 2 years. Rather than resettlement agencies receiving funding to provide the initial resettlement services, the sponsors are to provide those services. We at Catholic Community Services are still determining how we can best support Ukrainian parolees that come to Lane County without currently having designated funding to do so. A year ago, the Refugee and Immigrant Services Program at CCS had 2 staff, an attorney and a case manager. Through grants and funding from the state and federal governments, private foundations, and individual donors, we have been able to hire more staff and now have 3 case managers, an employment specialist, 2 attorneys, and a legal assistant. It's been some fast growth, but we needed to staff up to meet the need. We've also been fortunate to host a number of interns from the U of O Law School and other educational programs. The other thing that makes our work possible is our many dedicated volunteers. The Refugee Resettlement Coalition has teams of volunteers that help with everything from finding and furnishing housing, helping clients access medical care or learn English, putting together cultural orientation programs to help introduce newcomers to our community and culture, volunteers that provide transportation, and other volunteers that accompany our newest neighbors through the process of adapting to life in the U.S. Everything from learning the intricacies of our garbage and recycling system, you know, yes, I know that plastic thing has a recycling symbol on it, but it goes in the garbage, not the recycling, witnessing the pain and separation, the pain of separation from family and friends and one's former home. Our newest neighbors are also supported by many other local agencies, nonprofits, and businesses who are wonderful partners in this work. As a native Eugenian, I am very proud of our community's willingness to step up and welcome new neighbors from all over the world, new neighbors that enrich and strengthen our community and fill some of the many job openings at our local businesses. I hope we'll be able to continue to do this work for years to come. So that's the kind of the overview of the legal and social service aspect of this work. And at this time, I'd like to transition to hearing from some individuals about their own experiences. So first, I would like to introduce Oscar, who moved here in 2018 from El Salvador.
Hello, everyone. My name is Oscar, and I'm from El Salvador. And I've been told I had to talk about my experience and my history since I moved to the United States. And first of all, I just want to say that this program, the person that has been helping me since I moved here the first day, because I never gonna forget the first day that I came here. Every single one that put a little bit of the time to do whatever they need to do to bring me up here, they were in the airport waiting for me, and it meant a lot for me. That was amazing. And they've been all the time behind me, trying to help me, and every single thing that I need. I remember one day that I needed to go and go to the store to get some stuff, because in the school they asked us to bring typical food from our country. And I just text one of the volunteers, and he left his job. He asked for a quick break, and he took me to the store, and I could able to cook my food and go to the school and get my 100% in the assignment. So it was pretty cool. They are always helping you. They are now only taking care about you to come here. They want you to achieve yourself and to be a better person, do whatever you want to do here. And most of the people that has been helping me with to me, they are already part of my family. I just refer to them like they are my family, like Rose and Bob. They are always there for me. Everything that I need, we're going to figure out how we're going to do. And it's been a good experience coming up here and become a better person. I'm already starting to become a CNA. I'm already working as a CNA, and I had the opportunity to keep studying to become a nurse, or maybe one day a doctor. And trust me that I don't think that I could do this in my country, because in my country, the things are very different, and I couldn't even imagine going to a school like this. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone that is behind this program and are supporting this program to keep going. And I hope more people can have the same opportunity that I have. That I had before. And you know, this is like a second life for me, and I'm so thankful that I could be able to come here and have Christine and all the member staff that have been helping me. For me, they are part of my family now. Thank you.
Thank you, Oscar. It's so nice to get to hear from you. And then I would also like to introduce Zahra, who moved here in January from Afghanistan.
In the name of Allah, hello everyone. I'm Zahra. I'm from Afghanistan. I came to the United States in August. When I came to Washington, D.C., I was taken to Wisconsin by American Army. I was in Wisconsin for 4 months. In this process, there were moving Afghan refugees to different camps in different cities. When I was in Wisconsin, I applied for University of Oregon. After 4 or 5 weeks, I received an email. I was accepted in American English Institute. I had to come to the Eugene. I had never seen Eugene before. I was so nervous about that. I came to Eugene in January. When I arrived here, everything was new for me, the new place, the weather, the culture, everything. I was so scared because it was a new place for me, and I was alone here. Then I saw that Christine, Rosie, and my host family, Janet and Evelyn, were waiting for me at the airport. I was warmly welcomed by them. Then I came my host family house. The next day, I went to American English Institute. I met Cheryl, who is a head of the American English Institute. She was very kind. She gave information about American English Institute. When I was in Afghanistan, I studied law. Sometimes Cheryl arranged some meeting to different people to make my communication better with people. There are many students in American English Institute. They are from China, Japan, Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, and Afghanistan. They are very kind and friendly. And my host family are very kind. Sometimes we went to outside with them. They were trying to introduce us to the new environment. Sometimes we went to places of interest, some ballet, beach, aquarium, and another places. We had a good time with them. Our advocate is very kind. They help us when we have any problem or we want to go somewhere. Now, me, Mariam, and Zulaikha live together in new house. Me and Mariam work in graduate hotel, and Zulaikha works in residence inn. Everything is great here. Eugene is beautiful place. I like and love here. Here is like my hometown. The people in here are very kind and friendly to everyone, but we miss our family. I hope one day we can have our family by our side and continue our education, which is one of our dreams. I'm really grateful to these people who helped us a lot through the worst and hardest time in our life, those who tried their best and struggled so much in order to make us forget our pain and sadness and never let us feel lonely. They were always by our side, and they are still in here helping and supporting us in each step of life. Thank you.
I'm very pleased to welcome Ruth. Ruth moved here from Cameroon several years ago and is going to share some of her experience with us.
Thank you all. And thank you for the opportunity for letting me share my story, moving from West Africa, precisely English-speaking Cameroon, to here. That was in 2017, so a few years back. My home country is between the English and the French. And we are the minority. The English are the minority being colonized. We were colonized by the British, and it was under the United Nations Trust Territoryship, while the French-speaking Cameroonians were colonized by French under the same canopy of the UN Trust Territoryship. But because of what we have in the world today, each organ wants to become independent. The English-speaking said they have been marginalized for so long. They have never fought the war for over 60 years of their togetherness. So it started like a joke. The lawyers agitating for the fact that French-speaking magistrates were deployed into their territory, and then they were carrying out court proceedings with the French law, which the English-speaking Cameroonians could not understand. And the French-speaking law says you are condemned no matter what before the court of law. But with the English-speaking law, it says that you need to be bailed, and then you need to be proven guilty before you are being jailed. So it's the reverse with the French. So according to the French people, it shows that the English system has some authority over them. So they wanted to change that so that it should become a French-speaking, purely French-speaking court. But the English-speaking people were refusing. So it didn't end there. They also had the deployment of teachers into the territory to teach English-speaking children and to French. So immediately after the lawyers were agitating, they strike for like 2 or 3 months. The government did not see into their cry. The teachers also started. So that is the whole debacle that causes this strike. And internet was shut down for like 97 days, no internet for communication. And after that, I am an advocate for the rights of women with disabilities. So after this uprising, the government decided to arrest all leaders in the English-speaking zone. And those who were agitating and fighting for their rights, they were also being arrested. So in that turmoil, I decided to say, okay, now let me see. Let me check out and see how this whole story is going to turn out. So I checked out, I came here. So that was my main reason to fly out. I had behind my head that maybe it's going to stop in 5 or 6 months. But you know how easy it's good to start something, but it's difficult to end it. So up to date, we are still fighting. The English speaking now want to have an independent state of their own. And it is one of the third neglected wars in Africa, because it is being surrounded by interested parties who were part of the whole show. So many people don't know about it, but it's really happening. And more than 45,000 people have been killed. And we have more than 30,000 refugees in Nigeria. And we have the highest displacement all over the world. But we also have the Biden administration that is doing a great job to enact the TPP for Cameroon recently. That was to acknowledge the fact that something bad is really going there. So we have the temporary protected status now in Cameroon, first of its kind. So that is the story. But the real life of Ruth here in Eugene, I just have 1 minute. Moving from one place to the other, I try to term it like uprooting a tree and see if the tree will grow. So there is always a chance that the tree might die because you don't know the kind of soil you planted there. And there is also a possibility that it can be a best soil in the world and it's going to blossom. So I want to seize the opportunity to tell Eugenians and everybody that you guys have been a blessing to Ruth, and I have been struggling. It's not been easy. I cannot say it's an easy ride, but I have been surviving. And as a woman with disability, I have all the challenges that I can face, but I keep trying my best. I work with Next Step Recycling, and I'm forging ahead.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org. or our YouTube channel and our social media pages.